Well, lots of things, but I haven't really. I have used the Sound of Silence a little bit, but I'm not that experienced with it. It never didn't really resonate with me. Ajahn Sumedho was sort of the primary person in our community who used it. Ajahn Amar, of course, who spent a lot of time with Ajahn Sumedho, has used it a lot. So that's a way of prefacing what I say might not have a whole lot of credence behind it. But using the Sound of Silence, I mean, one of the things, or certainly in my own experience of just experimenting with it, our mind, the habit of the mind is to go to the content of the mind, and it busies itself with the content. And busies itself with the thoughts, it busies itself with the emotion or the ideas or the opinions or the chatter. And within that, there's always a stillness there. And just, that's the nature of the mind, is that the mind is still, it's clear, it's silent. And we fill up that silence because it's sort of like compulsively checking your Facebook or Line. It's just out of habit. So that out of habit, we keep going to our thoughts, and the thoughts gain momentum and moods and the ideas, and they keep popping up in the mind, and we keep going to them. So that lifting up this, a Sound of Silence, which is kind of more like a backdrop behind those processes, that movement, you realize, oh, if I pay attention to this, it's there. That gains momentum, and that's a really helpful insight, and it's a really helpful tool, because you realize, well, we always have that with us. And the way that Ajahn Sumedho speaks of it, of just it's like there's always a. It's like a kind of a ringing sound, or just something that is a part of the backdrop of the mind, and it's there all the time. You can just tune into that, and rather than getting caught in the different thought processes. And it helps to highlight the thought processes in terms of framing our thought processes in a different way. You've got a backdrop of silence. It's like, you look up into the sky, and the mind just immediately looks for an object. You don't look for the space, do you? You don't look at that sort of incredible expanse of blue. The mind starts looking for a plane fly, a cloud, or whatever. It's just what our mind is conditioned to do. So that by consciously looking at the expanse of sky. Or I'd say in the night, we don't look at what holds the stars. We look at the stars. We try to figure out a constellation. That's what the mind does. We look at the moon. It's an object. So we're very object oriented. So that to counter that with looking at what holds it, what's around it. The same. So we're sitting here in this meditation hall, and somebody asks, what's here? And you say, well, you start to say, well, there's all these people, and there's some monks, and then there's some pews, and there's stations of the cross, and there's an altar up in front, and that actually comprises a very small portion of what's here. What's here mostly is space, and the mind doesn't go to it first thing. So that sound of silence is giving the mind something other than its trains of thought, its obsessive moods, and just giving that something to dissolve into. And that's really skillful, that's really helpful, and very settling. So that picking up that as a, say, as a theme of meditation, just letting the mind rest in something that's not so object-oriented, not so concrete and solid, and just letting it be spacious. It's a wonderful way to experiment with the mind. Okay, that was the last question.